Always supporting local MMA. You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio.
Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That can only mean one thing, Full Guard Fight Radio. And I'm going to get my co-host in here. I'm not sure if he's hanging around. I know he's at the XFC way. So let me see if he's out there. Matthew, that's like Superman's when they shine that big light up in the sky and they're looking for Superman. Are you there, Matthew?
Man, you got your superheroes messed up, dude. That's Batman, man. That's the bad signal.
Oh, whatever.
Superman don't have no sign, man. Superman's just a jealous bastard who just thinks he should be everywhere all the time, man. He can't even touch Batman's greatness. Anyways,
well,
man,
I'm
here. I'm ready to go. You're right. I did just get back from the XFC weigh-ins about an hour or two ago, and I've been sitting locked into my computer ever since, making sure I had everything ready to go for tonight's show. Listen, man, I can't tell you enough. You know, we'll be there, you and I, Full Guard Fight Radio, in full force at XFC 24 tomorrow night. But listen, if you are not at XFC 24 tomorrow night, and if you are not watching it, then you are not an MMA fan. Let me tell you, this is going to be one of the greatest events that has ever been brought to the state of Florida, and it's going to be one of the greatest events that has ever been aired live on Access TV. So you people need to check it out. If you've got Access TV, set the DVR. You know, forget that. Cancel your plans. Watch that junk live. You're not going to want to miss a single second of it. So, I mean, I'm pumped and I'm ready to go, dude.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I said hello to you this afternoon, you were ready to rock and roll. So I didn't know what I can't keep up with you.
Let me tell you something, man. I got some awesome quotes. Is this from the president himself, John Prisco? Here's some quotes from the weigh-ins tonight. All right, first of all, he told each and every one of the fighters, he said, you guys were handpicked. He said, you guys are the core. You guys are the best on the roster. He said, this is going to be the biggest show the XFC has ever had. And that's from the president and the CEO of the company right there, man. So let me tell you what. This card is stacked top to bottom. The main card has every fight on the main card could be a main event. You know, and then you go to the prelim card, and you're just going to have guys fighting it out because they're going to be putting their hearts and their blood on the line to make sure that they're on that main card next time around or in the future. So it's just going to be a great night of fights, man. I just can't say enough.
Yeah, I'm looking so forward to it, man. Tomorrow night, 5 p.m., we're going to be up in the Sun Dome getting ready for XFC. I can't wait. So I'm looking forward to the entire thing. I really am looking forward to meeting John Prisco. He runs a great organization. He's a great stand-up man. And everybody he's brought to us in the weeks leading up to tomorrow night have been just consummate professionals. So I'm looking very forward to seeing it. Plus, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, man. It's a stacked card, and the event's going to be great. So whatever you can do,
yeah.
Good local, good MMA, regardless of what it is, whether it's, you know, guess you can beat because that garbage that's going to be on Zuffa in a couple weeks tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or Saturday. So.
Yeah, there's actually, I mean, you got World Series of Fighting 3 is on tomorrow night. Set the DVR on that one. Replay, watch that one sometime over the weekend, man. You don't want to, you know what, that's going to be a good event, but nothing's going to touch this XFC 24 event, so make sure you're watching that. But, yeah, man, John Prisco, you know, I walked in. He was the first person I saw. I walked up and introduced myself. He said, nice to finally meet you, man. He said, you know, have fun, make yourself comfortable. You know, such a great guy. As I watch him talk to each one of the fighters, the coaches, he takes time to say hello, to ask somebody how they're doing. I saw him with Ethan Blevins. We know Ethan here, man. He's a future fighter, just an absolute champ. And, you know, he walked up to Ethan. He said, you know, it's an honor to meet you. Gave him an official XFC hat, said, I hope to sign you one day. So that's just the kind of guy John is. And it goes from the bottom, from the top with John to the bottom and all the way in between with their team. TJ Alcock, man, one of the hardest working, most dedicated, loyal people in this business. The dude is just phenomenal with all the stuff that he takes care of and all the stuff that he does with him, his great team. Just phenomenal team right there, and it's going to play off tomorrow night as it's paid off 23 times in the past, and it's going to be a great night of fights, plain and simple.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I mean, I'm looking very, very, very forward to it. So what do we got going on tonight? Now let's move on for a little bit. We only got a couple minutes before we jump into some interviews. So what do we got going
on,
man?
Yeah, man. First and foremost, man, our sponsors, you know, Cross-Order Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Sports, right there. You're going to have some of the best clothing and gear in all of the business right there. So check them out. Brawlbase.com. Go over and check them out, man. Help them support local MMA and help them further the great cause that they're doing. And Pro-Am Belts. If you want great belts, that's the only place you can go. Pro-AmBelts.com. We welcome the new sponsor this week, Cast Iron Supplements, man. Check them out. Get your supplements. Get fit. Get in shape. Do it the right way with Cast Iron Supplements. Now, as far as our – oh, and, of course, Gator MMA, my team and my family, GatorMMA.com. Check them out. Our first fighter going pro tomorrow night at XFC 24, Ladarius Jackson. He is pumped and he is ready to go. Got a big hug, a handshake from him, and just – nothing but smiles with Ladarius, man. And he is focused. He is ready to go. It's just going to be a great night. Yeah.
Let me ask you, was he sweaty?
Not yet, man. Not yet. That's all you tomorrow night, bro.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait to watch him fight and to get him all sweaty. Can't wait.
I'm so pumped. I just can't think straight. As far as tonight goes, another great lineup tonight, man. We welcome one of our Team Madhouse fighters, one of our sponsored guys, Bruce Braveheart Richards, one of the most hardworking people in the business. The guy fights more often than probably most people. I don't even think this guy knows what a fight camp is, man. He goes from fight to fight to fight. Win-loss, it don't matter. He just keeps going. He keeps pushing forward, and he's building himself a phenomenal career. After that, we're going to welcome in Ultimate Fighter alumni Josh Salmon, getting ready for a UFC fight coming up here shortly. Also one of the co-owners of Combat Night in promotions out of Orlando, Florida. So excited about talking to him. And then we're going to end the night with the great Billy Smallwood. His Twitter handle is at Billy Small. So I got a good laugh out of that. But Carl set that interview up. We want to thank you, Carl, and thank you, Billy, for agreeing to the interview last minute, man. We appreciate it. So it's going to be a stacked night, dude. And once we get the interviews done, we got a little free time at the end. We'll talk just a little bit more about the XFC 24 because it's a big event going on tomorrow night. Give some shout-outs to some upcoming events over the next couple weekends. I will be a very busy person over the next three weekends as I will be doing a lot of traveling to a few different events. This last weekend, there was a few great events that went down here in the state of Florida, Combat Night 15 in Orlando and Super Brawl 17 down in Fort Lauderdale. The results to both of those events can be found on MMAMadhouse.com. As well as the results in a short article about Metamoris 2 that took place out in California. That was a great event put on by Halleck Gracie at Metamoris Promotions. And it was just a great main event, man. Kron Gracie versus Shinya Aoki. And Kron Gracie, the son of Hickson Gracie, caught Shinya in a beautiful guillotine, tapped him out, man. It was awesome. So
it was
just some
cool
stuff that's been going on.
It was a pretty cool event, man. Did you get a chance to see the whole thing?
I didn't. I saw highlights of each fight. I know just from the crowd and immediate feedback of the event, the people in attendance and stuff weren't thrilled. People were a little frustrated with how some of the fights were going. But I think some of those people, I think it's an honest ignorance to what true jiu-jitsu submission tournaments are about. And I don't think that's anybody's fault. I think that's simply people not being aware that sometimes that's how jiu-jitsu tournaments turn out. I thought it was a great event. I thought Brendan Schaub embarrassed himself big time.
Yeah, that's what I
wanted
to get to. I wanted to get Brendan Schaub just being a train wreck. I mean, he didn't he tried nothing. I mean, he really tried. He did not try to pass any guard. He did not try to mount any offense whatsoever. I think he was way outclassed and outmatched, and I don't think it was a good showing for him.
Yeah, not at all, but definitely that main event came out, saved the event. Not only that, but what a huge announcement midway through the event there for Metamoris 3. Metamoris 3 is going to be headlined by the rematch of Hoyler Gracie and Eddie Bravo. They faced each other back, I want to say 2003. I think it was the 2003 Abu Dhabi, and Eddie Bravo got the victory there. And it's been a rematch that's kind of been in the works for a few years. Yeah, the 2003 Abu Dhabi Submission Wrestling World Championship. Bravo beat Hoyler. And that's been a rematch that's been talked about, rumored, hyped, hoped for years. And it's going to go down. Props to Halleck Gracie and Meta Morse, Pro Jiu-Jitsu Invitational, for getting that together. It's going to be a great, great headliner. If you're a fan of Jiu-Jitsu, that's going to be something you're going to want to watch, man. 10th Planet BJJ founder versus one of the legends of the Gracie family, Hoyler Gracie. So it's going to be a great night of fights. Right now, we're going to Jason's back there getting ready, getting Mr. Bruce Braveheart Richards ready to go. In the meantime, man, if you don't know Bruce Richards, dude is a young guy out of the Pacific Northwest, I believe. I'm not exactly sure, but I think he's up in their Oregon, Washington area. I could be wrong. Either way, this dude is a beast, man, a straight workhorse. You're talking 9-14 as an amateur, and the dude fights almost on a weekly basis. You know, he had 3 fights in March. He fought just at the beginning of May, but he's fought already this year. He's fought like 8 times, so you know, it doesn't matter win or loss. The dude gets right back up, and he's got a good set of wins going on. He's 5-2 in his last 7 fights, so. I mean, with that ready, I'll quit bragging about him and I'll let the dude come in and talk about himself. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing very good, man. Listen, it's always an honor to get a Team Madhouse fighter on here. I've been wanting to do it for a while and just, you know, finally got the opportunity to get you on the show, man. Proud to have you.
I am glad to be on the show.
Also, man, we're proud to represent you at Madhouse, man. You just don't stop, dude. It's just like you fight. You know, turn around, fight again, turn around, fight again. Like, does that take a toll on you physically, emotionally, mentally, or is that just like, is that just how you are, man? It's just nonstop.
Yeah, it's pretty much just nonstop. You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's nothing to me to step in there. Do it so often. I've had 9 fights so far this year.
Right on. I think they're missing one then. That's my bad.
Yeah,
what was your last fight?
Last weekend.
Oh, okay. Yep, that one's not up on the website yet.
Hey guys, I don't mean to interrupt you. Hang on 1 second. We got somebody.
Oh man.
Hey boys, how's it going tonight?
Mr. Carl Morrison, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. I don't have much time. You have the fabulous, magnificent Braveheart on tonight, and I had to call in and thank Bruce personally for being the fighter that has represented MMA Madhouse more times in the cage than probably every other fighter combined. And Bruce Richards, huge props to you, brother. We support you 100%, man. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your support.
We look forward, you know, to following you all the way, man. So keep doing what you do and, you know, let us know what's going on like you always do. And thank you very much. I can't stick around, though, tonight, guys. So I'm going to take off, and I just had to get that in there. So
right.
Have a great show.
Take all right, Carl, thanks. Bruce, I apologize. Carl had talked to me earlier and said he wanted to come in and give you show some public appreciation and, you know, just say, you know, thanks for doing all the stuff that you do for us here at MMA Madhouse. So I'm glad we could get that in.
Nobody supports local MMA like MMA Madhouse.
Well, we try.
we do our best. Anyways, man, I mean,
what I get from you guys too and shit.
So you're saying you just fought last weekend? Where was that fight at?
Granville, New York.
Right on, man. So, how'd that fight go? Win or loss?
It was the first time I ever fought outside. It's hot as hell, but I was dominating most of the fight, and I got caught in a guillotine 24 seconds. 26 seconds from the end of the third round.
Okay.
That was my third time fighting that particular opponent, too. So I'm 1-1-1 against him. So I've got to settle the score
Hey, Bruce, let me ask you a question. Now, with you fighting so much, is it Is it constantly in the gym for you? Now, when we talk to a lot of fighters on here, you know, I ask them, what are you going to do, like, tomorrow night is the XFC event up in Tampa? And, you know, I ask these guys, what am I going to do on Saturday after the fight? I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to this, that, and the other. What do you do? I mean, how do you prepare to fight, you know, 100 times a year?
I don't know. I just stack fights.
Yeah. Are you
I go into some fights. To be honest with you guys, I go into some fights without even training, you know, like. I take like a week, you know, sometimes I'll just go from fight to fight, like if I, you know, like 1 week, 2 weeks later I'll have another fight and I'll just take those 2 weeks off to relax and just go at it again, you know. But,
so with you going so like nonstop like that and fighting so regularly, when you decide to make that jump to the pro ranks, how are you going to do you think it's going to be hard to adjust to kind of being on a more structured schedule where at most you may fight once every couple of months, or is that something you think you'll be able to ease into?
Yeah, pretty much. I've already got it kind of planned to take it professional when I make that leap, you know, and take time, train for each fight, and, you know, go at it kind of like a pro. But right now as amateur, I'm just trying to suck in as much experience as I can pretty much. So... Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. So you're based out of Vermont, is that right?
Yeah.
You fight a lot. I see you got a few fights up in Plattsburgh, which is like kind of like upstate New York, as far as my knowledge goes. So
yeah.
You fight kind of, and you've got quite a few fights with the Extreme Combat Promotions. Is that a promotion that's just like, I mean, do you keep going to them with fights, or do they keep contacting you because they like what you do?
Well, the promoter, Kathy Fitzgerald, used to be the matchmaker for another promotion, and I started, you know, fighting for them. Then she opened her own promotion, and I was already kind of in the scene by that time, so I just, they're like the number one promotion in Vermont, so they have events once a month, so I'm pretty much on call for them all the time, and I fight around like New York and stuff too. I fight for a bunch of different promotions.
Hey, Bruce, I'm from New York. I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I was wondering, do you fight in up that way, Niagara Falls, Seneca, the Seneca Indian Reservation, anything like that?
I've fought in Whitehall, Granville, Plattsburgh,
okay.
Albany, Messina.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's about all I fought down New York.
You got just a ton of amateur fights. Is there a certain number of fights you're looking at before you go pro and say, I'm going to fight 30 amateur fights and I'm going to go pro? Or you're just taking it day by day to kind of see where you're going?
Well, this year, 2013, is the last year I'm going to be an amateur. So I'm probably going to have my pro debut early next year. But I'm just going to, like, keep stacking fights all the rest of this year, and who knows how much, you know. Last year I fought 14 times. This year I've already fought 9 times. So.
Now, you say you're going to, early next year is going to be your pro debut. Are you in the process of working with a fight camp, or are you just kind of training by yourself, or are you going to hook up with a gym? Walk us through
a couple different places I just, you know, go from. I'm not in no steady fight camp or anything, but I was originally planning on making my pro debut in October down here, but venue changes and they're going to be in New York, back in Plattsburgh in October, and pro MMA is not legal yet in New York. So
only state in the country.
Yeah. Connecticut just passed it. But, so I haven't heard nothing back from, you know, when exactly I'm planning on it or anything. But I'm hoping early next year.
Okay. Do you represent yourself? Do you have management that hooks these fights up? Or is it just they know that if they call and leave you a voicemail and say, hey, Bruce, I need you to be You know, it's a facility on the 13th. You're going to show up.
Yeah. I don't have a manager or anything. I pretty much just find my own fights. But,
okay.
Like, yeah, the some of the promoters from New York, you know, they've seen me from other fights or heard about me, and they contact me usually. But when I come across a promotion, a new promotion to me that's somewhere around the general area, I contact them, though, you know, just see what's up.
I just have one more question before I let you get in. I'm sorry, Bruce. Let me ask you this: you fighting amateur is not always. I mean, you're not going to become rich from this. Now, I don't need the financial. You know, your financial statements. I'm not the IRS. I'm just kind of curious, for a guy who fights so much and travels so, I mean, you're from Vermont. Vermont to New York is, what, 6 hours, 8 hours maybe?
Vermont's right next week to Vermont.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, Plattsburgh, well, I guess Plattsburgh is up by you, but anyway, irrelevant. I'm just kind of wondering, do they take care of your travel costs? I mean, do they at least hook you up with you know, some money? I just wondered how amateur, because they can't pay you, right? Because then you become professional.
Right.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. I mean, I have gotten compensated for travel a few times, but for the most part, you know, it's just, I don't get shit really. But, I mean, it's only like a 2-3 hours. Like, I think the longest trip I've made was like 3.5 hours. And, yeah, you know, I work, so it's not really like a problem with gas and stuff, you know. So, it'd be nice if I got some more compensation, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not really my main concern.
Well, so what is your amateur record now? I mean, the most updated thing I can find online is 9-14.
Yeah, it's 11-18-1.
Dang, man.
Yeah,
these websites need to step it up a little bit, man. Dang, 11-18-1. You're going pro next year. How many more fights are you wanting to take before the end of that, before that comes?
I was supposed to fight next weekend, kinda. My opponent bailed, and we're trying to find another one, but I don't know how that's going. But I have one scheduled for July, one in August, I guess. And those are the ones I know about so far. I'm probably going to do at least one a month for the rest of the year. So. I fought 4 times in March.
Dang, man. That's like, well, what's your friends and family? What's Bruce up to this weekend? Oh, man, he's probably fighting again.
It's actually my boss at work. gave me weekends off in general.
And they're like,
I can't fight this weekend. I can't work this weekend. I'm fighting. So he's like, I'm just going to give you all weekends off.
They're like, we'll just go ahead and start scheduling Bruce Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. Now, when you got into the fight game, when you started out, was this your mindset from the get go? Like, you know, I'm going to take as many fights as possible, and I'm just going to keep going until I feel ready to go pro.
No, you know, like, I originally, when I started, I told myself after 10 fights I'd go pro, but I ended up like. Yeah, I don't know, like 2-8 or something, 3-9, I think, or something. You know, I was just like, yeah, I'm definitely not ready to go pro, so I'll just keep at it. And yeah, 20 fights later, I'm still, you know. I mean, I'm feeling like the competition lessened, kinda. But I mean, there's still some good fighters around here I wanna get in the cage with. So I still got some business, I guess, as an amateur. Plus, I don't
have
that's one of my goals.
Right on, man. Absolutely. Hey, Skippy wants to know if you're winning that photo contest.
Yeah, I am. I'm up by, like, 38 likes.
Yeah, right on, man.
Yeah, so.
Listen, man, before we let you go, man, you got time, you know, you want to give any shout-outs, any sponsors or where people can find you on the social media?
Yeah, my I have a fighter page, Bruce Braveheart Richards, on Facebook, Twitter, at Richards Bruce. I'd like to give shout outs to the entire team, Madhouse. Keep up the good work, guys. Everybody I train with, the UFAI brothers, everybody else. Y'all know who you are. yeah, you know.
Right on, man. Listen, Bruce, man, thanks for joining us tonight. Like I said, you know, it's an honor having a Team Madhouse fighter on the phone with us, getting to talk with one of our own here and hear what's going on with you, man. Best of luck with your upcoming fights today, tomorrow, the next 3 days, and every other day you're fighting this week, man. Best of luck, and we'll be looking forward to seeing some great things from you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Take
all right, Bruce, have a good night.
Yeah, you too, guys.
That's Bruce Braveheart Richards. My God. The guy's got like 67 fights under his belt.
As an amateur, dude, 11-18-1, man. Listen, that was great, dude. You're like, did they just shoot you a message? Like, it's funny, man, picturing like these promotions are like, shoot, oh, we need a fight filled. Oh, Bruce Richards, man, let's shoot him a text, or like they Facebook him, or just like they send him a page. They're like, yo, Bruce, time, place, we'll see you there. We know you'll make your weight.
That's crazy, man.
Like,
feeling for the poor guy. You know what I mean? That's what I feel like for the poor guy. You know, he's like, oh, man, I got to work this weekend. Or, you know, he's trying to make plans, and he gets a text at, like, 10:30, like right now. Hey, Bruce, we need you, man. And I guarantee the guy wouldn't even hesitate to swing down there and fight, man. The guy's an animal.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, dude. That's going to pay off dividends for him when he goes pro, because promotions are going to want him on their card. They're going to know that this guy's dependable. Like, whether or not he wins or loses, these promoters know this dude's going to be here. He's going to make weight. He's going to put on a good show, and we're going to want him to come back for more. So this time he's spent in the amateurs, you know, to be 11-18-1 as an amateur, all that time, he's paid his dues. He's earned his right. And when he goes pro, man, this dude's going to find fights easily.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, you know, you find a lot of these amateur guys that that don't make weight, that don't show up, things like that. And this guy's shown up for 30 fights, 31 fights. And clearly he's got a, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's got the right mentality. I'm just concerned that, you know, that the comment he made about sometimes I don't even train for fights. The guy's always fighting, so it's like he's training. I just hope that when he gets, when he becomes a professional, that becomes that becomes a priority for him. I don't want to see him get hurt,
yeah.
I guess, because that can happen very quickly if you're not training and not taking that kind of stuff as seriously as you should. But, I mean, I can't see that he wouldn't. I mean, the guy takes amateur fighting, traveling around the countryside to fight for free very seriously. So, I mean, you know, but it was great to have him on. You know, he's very low-key, very, you know, he just chill, and, you know, he just likes to fight. He likes to go out there and get work in, and, you know, in 2014, he's going to start getting a paycheck. So good for him, man.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, you know, it's kind of getting to the point where, like, you know, this is a little off topic here, but Carl Mortensen, man, he's too good to hang out with us now, but he has no problem coming in and interrupting the show like that. You know, I'm kind of getting sick of that.
Well, you know, I mean, the guy's got to work. He's got to make money to expand on the chicken coop. So, I mean, you know,
Hey, man, that chicken coop is baller, dude. He finally got it finished. He posted a video, and I watched that weird, creepy video. I wasn't sure what he was about to show me. I don't know if he had, like, people hidden inside the coop. I didn't know where that was going, because it was, you know, something right off the X-Files. But he did get it finished, and it's one hell of a good-looking chicken coop, man. So the hard work paid off there for Carl, and maybe the wife will let him sleep back in the bed now that he's got the chicken coop ready to go. So
now that the coop is finished, he's ready to rock. So
yeah, right on. Hey, no, all kidding aside, man. Carl's a man. He never stops working. He's got a lot of stuff in the works. We could have some cool announcements coming here soon for Full Guard Pride Radio and for MMA Madhouse Florida. So stay tuned. Keep your ears open. Get your popcorn ready. And follow Madhouse.
Don't you think I should be let in on this? Because I'm always the last to know every freaking thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to drive you out. I love surprises, but damn.
Yeah, right on, man. Dude, I'm excited about our next guest, man. I started talking with him like last week. I was trying to find out a little bit more of his, about his promotion, Combat Night. I heard last weekend there was a event coming up in Orlando. And let me tell you something. I hate when events pop up 1, 2, 3 days ahead before they're about to go live. And I'm like, wait, what's this event? You know, because I do so much. I spend so much time searching events, networking, trying to find these fights and get out there to cover them, man. So I hate when these events pop up and I didn't know about them. So, you know, I take the fault for that. I feel like that's my own ignorance. So I do my best, man. You know, this event popped up last week. I wasn't able to get out there. I got to give a big shout-out to Mitchell, the co-owner of Combat Night, for hitting up results and getting me results and hooking me up and looking forward to a great relationship with the Combat Night. As well as I got to give a shout-out to Marlene over at Super Brawl 17. She helped me get the results there. Just great people, man. If I can't get to the events, I've been really fortunate to hook up with some great people in this business and around the state that'll help Team Madhouse get the results. I always give shout-outs on my articles to these people, man, just to let them know that, you know, it's not possible without the help and this community helping each other. So I'm looking up this event, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm like, this is the event Josh Salmon owns. So I started talking with Josh on Facebook, and I'm like, you know, asking him about the event. I was like, you know what, let me throw this out there. I'm like, hey, Josh, you know, you're free next Thursday. Would you be willing to come do this interview? You know, he's in the UFC now. So I'm sure he's getting hounded. He's just come off The Ultimate Fighter, which I thought was one of the best seasons. I loved it. I grew a lot of respect for Chael Sonnen during that season because of seeing what he was like more as a person instead of just the entertainer. And I was just he's like, absolutely, man, just whenever. I'm like, you know, how's this Thursday? He said, absolutely. So I'm excited. Excited to talk with him and find out a little bit about what's going on with him as a fighter and a little bit about what's going on with him and his promotion. So. Did I lose you, buddy?
No. I'm over in I'm going to Q. I was going to Q.
Okay,
sorry,
okay.
I didn't let you know.
Yeah, go ahead. With that said, Jason's going to go get Josh ready. I spoke with hit him up a little bit earlier today just to remind him, and he was a busy dude, and he was, you know, ready to go, excited. So 10-2 record, put out a great performance on The Ultimate Fighter 17, was a semifinalist, and for sure going to have a good career in the UFC and be one of the top fighters in the world, man, one of the top fighters at 185. So we'll be excited to get on here just in the next couple minutes. Until then, like I said, man, like we were talking about XFC 24 earlier in the night, tickets are still available at BeAFanTickets.com. You can check out OfficialXFC.com, and you'll be able to find out all the info about that. With that said, we're going to get ready here real quick. Also, like I said, World Series of Fighting is going on this weekend. Set the DVR on that one. It's going to be a good event. No disrespect there, but XFC 24, man, you want to watch that live. Absolutely want to watch that live. So check it out, man. The main event, John Fitch, Josh Berkman, that's going to be a sick fight. Tyson Steele, Steve Carl. I know they were looking at getting Tyrone Spong on this and just had some visa issues or something. That's a major, major bummer. Tyrone would have been a sick fight. Hollis Gracie Jr. is fighting on the card, man. I love watching the Gracies fight. Forever be a big fan of the family, so be a good fight there, him versus Dave Huckabee. When you have 15 windows open on your internet browser, things tend to freeze up, so you have to bear with me here. My co-host is back in the queue trying to get Josh ready to go. And my internet is completely frozen. So in the meantime, like I said, man, the vacant...
Matt, yep. Yeah, we're all
set.
We got Josh on the line.
Josh,
how are you tonight, bud?
Well, I'm doing well. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us tonight. What do you got going on Thursday night? What are you doing tonight?
Well, Thursday night, just taking it easy, sitting here watching the Heat game, and getting ready for training tomorrow.
You start training tomorrow? You got you just start going into camp, getting ready for...
I try to train every day, at least once a day. When I'm in camp, I'll pick it up to 2 or 3 times a day, and I'll watch my diet a little bit more. But as of right now, I'm just doing that once or twice a day, just making sure I'm helping my teammates as well for those that maybe haven't fights. I'm down here in Miami at MMA Masters right now, so we got to practice tomorrow. So I'm just taking it easy, man, just relaxing right now.
Nice. You got the, you know, I apologize. You got any fight scheduled? Are you going into camp for a fight?
No, I haven't signed any contracts yet, and nothing is very concrete right now. I went to Twitter a couple weeks ago and asked the UFC for a fight with Hafi on the Tall. He's a pretty good fighter in the UFC, man. He's got 5 fights, and last time you saw him, he was on the main card. So I thought that'd be a good name for me to match my skills with and test myself. And that's what we're trying to work out right now. But nothing is for sure.
Josh, let me ask you a question. When you go to Twitter, when you go anywhere, and I use the proverbial finger quotes here. When you call out a fighter and you say, "I want to fight this guy," is that very calculated? Is that something you know that you're doing? And is that a way that you and your representation say this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it?
Yeah, I think that from my experience on The Ultimate Fighter and the conversations that I've had with Dana, Dana likes when you have. And you kind of have an idea of who you want to fight and don't leave all the matchmaking to them. Joe Silva does an excellent job. He's a great matchmaker. Sure. I'm sure they would have found me a great fight regardless. But there's guys that I want to test myself against and that may have some name value and recognition that I could use and hopefully gain after defeating them. So, you got to look at everybody on the roster and see who's available, who's injured, who's fighting, and that's how we make our decision.
Now, have you, I don't want to keep saying call out, but have you called out other opponents in the past and been awarded that fight? Has it worked out in your favor in the past?
There's been times where, for instance, the first guy to ever beat me, John Walsh, he beat me years and years ago, and then a couple years later, I racked up a few wins, and I asked for that fight with him, and he gave it to me, and I ended up winning, and now he and I are friends, actually, so, I don't do it too much, but, every now and then, I think it kind of keeps it exciting to, pick a fight. You don't have to be an asshole about it, but, if you call someone out, it's a pleasant surprise.
Sure. Now, kind of to piggyback off that comment, being an asshole, is there any, does that piss you back off? Like, I see Chael Sonnen, he calls out everybody and their mother, and he gets fights. Does that, get under your skin as a fighter? I understand the business aspect, and you're trying to call out fighters to get your name out there and get a fight, and make money. That's what cares. It's a business. Does that piss you off on the other end and be like, you don't got to be a dick about it.
There's guys that aren't dicks about it, but you mentioned Chael, and I think Chael's a good example of somebody that's really making the most of his career and the most of the skill set that he has. Obviously he's a great, great fighter, but he's a pound for pound champ at talking shit and getting the fights that he wants. I think it's probably towards the end of his career. Maybe. Who knows, 4 or 5 more fights if we're lucky, and so he's trying to get the big fights, and he's trying to keep the crowd happy and excited, too. If somebody in the 85 or 205-pound division, pulls out, you can always kind of count on Chael to go in there and do the job for somebody.
Sure. Let me ask you, you spent some time in the Ultimate Fighter House, obviously, clearly. I don't know what you can and can't say, can and can't talk about. Tell me about that experience. Was it a good experience for you? Was that something you might not think you ever want to do again? Talk me through that experience.
I enjoyed the time on the Ultimate Fighter House, and obviously there was moments that weren't fun, but there's a lot of people that just didn't like it altogether. But for me, I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was the best experience of my life, and then being on there. We were really fortunate to have not only a great team on Team Jones, but a great cast in general. Even the guys on the other team we were really friendly with, and I still keep in contact with a lot of those guys. So I think you get on one of these seasons where, you know, if you have some, you know, some obnoxious people or people that are not professional or are not there to win, then it could turn out to be a bad situation. But in my instance, the producers did a great job this season, the season that I was on, of just picking guys because of their talent and not because of what kind of reality television show character they might be. And I think it really showed and paid off in the episodes and in the season as a whole.
Sure. Now, take me behind the scenes a little bit with Jones and Sonnen. I know going leading up to the fight, there was a lot of animosity and things like that. Was that way behind the scenes too with those guys?
No, not at all. These guys were so friendly. They were very, very, very cordial, very friendly, shaking hands, joking. You know, and I think that's kind of the tone that Chael said early on. I think that John went in there ready to kind of have some, you know, expecting some heat coming from Chael because that's what Chael does, but. You kind of realize that it's not really he doesn't do that as much when he's face to face with the guys that he's fighting. And I think he's just cutting promos, and he does a great job of it.
Oh, interesting. It's always interesting. I know John Jones a little bit personally. I grew up in New York, so I know him. Very nice guy, very down to earth. So I was really surprised that Sonnen kind of went at him that way, and Jones, you know, didn't try to tear his head off. But anyway, can you talk about anything behind the scenes, things that happened maybe that the cameras didn't catch, or are you allowed to talk about that stuff?
No, I mean, you guys saw, you know, the majority of, obviously, there's, you know, they only have, you know, so many hours they can air over the course of the season, and we're there for 6 or 7 weeks, so there's all sorts of stuff that, cool, interesting stuff that happened that we thought for sure would make there and didn't. One, for instance, the whole team went to Red Rock Canyon one day before Dylan and I semifinal fight. It was kind of cool. Jones, you know, we loaded the van up, and Jones and the assistant coaches took us to Red Rock out in Vegas. And, you know, that was an awesome day. We got to climb this freaking huge mountain and stuff, and the these camera guys are trying to follow us, loading cameras on their shoulder and stuff, trying to keep up. And it was just kind of a fun, playful day that we thought would turn into a good episode. They didn't show that, but they did a good job of whatever they didn't show. A lot of the things they ended up doing web extras on. So that was kind of a cool way to go behind the scenes and just see what was the things that other team was saying and doing. And like I said, we had a good cast, so you know I enjoyed it a lot.
Let me ask you this, Josh. They do a lot of the coaches' challenges and stuff, you know, for the money. Now I know that's pretty competitive. You guys win a little bit of money there too, don't you?
Yeah, we won. We were supposed to win $1,500 if we won. And in that situation, we did not win. It was a pretty unique challenge. You know, for those who watched, it was at a place called Big Vegas in Vegas. And you know, it was just a series of things that you had to do with, like, an excavator, I think it's called, you know, grabbing dirt and stacking tires and stuff like that. So we didn't end up winning, but just for the record, our our excavator was a little bit less capable than Chael's was, but we still got pretty close, so we were a little bit pissed about that, but it's whatever.
Sorry, I didn't mean to turn the knife. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
Hey, Josh, you speak out. There's if you Google your name and it comes up, you speak out against steroids in MMA. Talk to me a little bit about steroids, PEDs, TRT, stuff like that. Tell me a little bit about how you feel. You know, do you feel like it's kind of running roughshod through there, or
You know, guys that have been around the UFC and been around big camps, you know, they'll tell you it's very, very common. And for me, I kind of came from a small camp in Tallahassee, and I mean, only guys that I knew that would take steroids there were guys that were like bodybuilding or stuff like that, you know. So we didn't, that's not something that we just grew up doing at my school. And then I'm in a little bit bigger camp now. I'm down at the MMA Masters in Miami, like I said, but I still don't know of any of the guys in my camp who juice or whatnot. But, I think it is a pretty serious issue, especially, you know, with how many people are getting caught, and then, you know, TRT being legal in some states, California just banned it. a couple days ago, you know, which I think is good. I think Nevada is working on lowering their ratio that is allowed from 6-1 to 4-1. Last I read, so stuff like that. You know, I think maybe if you're hitting baseballs or you're, you know, playing soccer, not even football, I don't think it's very, very, very good idea, because when you put these guys on this stuff and it's a contact sport, you know, to give one guy such a clear cut advantage to where, you know, the other guy could get hurt, or even himself could get, you know, he could be abusing what he's taking and hurt himself. And I just think it's best to make a level playing field, to have nobody take that shit, and then you know, because you don't want all these guys that are not juicing, and, you know, maybe a guy loses a couple fights in a row or something, you know, to maybe some guys that are on TRT or suspected, you know, steroid abusers, and then you have this guy feeling like he has to, you know, take this or take that in order to, you know, to compete and keep up in the sport that he loves. So it's just, man, it's just a whole mountain of problems that comes into play when you start doing stuff like that. So I can talk all day about it. I just would like to stand against it, and I hope that more fighters take the same stance.
You know what, Josh? I actually tend to agree with you, because in baseball, I don't care if Barry Bonds walks up there with a needle hanging out of his ass. I really don't.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like MMA and boxing, I just think it becomes an unfair advantage. I think of like Phelan Fox, who, you know, that whole thing with that. She's just so much bigger, stronger than her opponents, and I think it's just unfair when it comes to one-on-one combat sports. And I couldn't agree with you more. So, Matt, I apologize. I know you have some stuff for Josh, so just wanted to get that in there.
Sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I agree with the both of you. Now, I don't fully agree with you, Jason. I don't want to see a baseball player walking up to the mound with his needle hanging out of his arm. But as far as fighters go, yeah, absolutely. There shouldn't be. It should be an absolute zero tolerance when it comes to drug use and steroid use, especially. But shift gears a little bit, Josh. How did you get involved with doing Combat Night and get involved with Mitchell? And where did Combat Night come about?
Man, Mitchell and I have been friends for a long time. Like I said, I came from a small camp. I was in Tallahassee, and where I was from in Tallahassee, it's a pretty big town, pretty big college town. But the thing about college towns is you have guys that just climb and go, and you know, it's the majority of the people there are students, and so we never got a great chance to build a team and keep the guys down like we wanted to. But in the few years that we did have something going, I was young. I was maybe I'm 25 now. I think I was 20 or 21, and I was the only guy in Tallahassee that had pro fights. So a friend of mine and I opened a gym, and so we had a bunch of guys come in, and then I was younger than most of them, but I was still coach to them, and that was kind of the relationship that I formed with Mitchell. And so I got Mitchell a pro fight, I think, in 2009 or something, and so far, I've gotten all of his fights, and he's 4-1 now. Probably a couple of years ago, it was last January was the date. They had just legalized amateur mixed martial arts in Florida, maybe 6 or 7 months before that. Because for those who don't know, it wasn't always available. You weren't always allowed to do these shows in Florida. It was professional only. That was the only thing that the commission would sanction. And so we were just coming over from an amateur show, man, and we were just, you know, just shooting the shit back and, you know, throwing ideas back and forth. And, you know, we realized that we could do this. We could do the same thing. You know, we have all the fighters in North Florida. You know, I had a good fan base built in Tallahassee. And we had, a lot of local support with local businesses and stuff that wanted to be a part of it. And our first show was a hit. And eventually we grew it from Tallahassee. We said, all right, we'll take it east. We took it to Jacksonville. We said, all right, we'll take it south. We started doing it in Orlando. And then now our next show on June 29th is our first Miami show. This will be our 16th show since beginning Combat Night last January.
Hey, man, that's awesome. To go from 1 to 16 in you know, about a year and a half, that shows a lot of
success. It's just moving crazy fast. It's scary how fast it's moving, but we love it. And then, yeah, like you said, going from 1 to 16, I mean, by the time we get done with this year, we'll be on 25 or 26. So what you're talking about now is you're talking about two people, you know, two pro fighters, active pro fighters who started this thing from scratch. And now
we're pretty much doing a show as often as the UFC is doing a show. And obviously we're not the UFC. We're, you know, obviously the scale that they do it on is huge. But I think that I now have a better understanding and appreciation for Dana and all the whole, just all the guys involved in fight promotion. They work so hard, and I realize now that it's not just booking a venue and putting some fight together and you know, making an online ticket sales thing. I mean, there's so much more that goes behind it. But it keeps me busy. It keeps me to where I don't have to have a day job. I'm not making quite enough from fighting yet to where I can live really comfortably. But you know, combat night keeps me busy, and puts a little extra cash in the pocket, so we love it.
Hey, Jeff, right on, man.
I got just one thing to follow up with that. You said you have a newfound respect for Dana and the UFC. Now, do they know about your promotion? Do they support your promotion? Do they help out in any way?
Yeah, that was one of the first conversations that I had with Dana, actually, because obviously this combat night is a big part of my life. You know, it's something that I'll be doing, you know, after my career is done. And so it was important for me to tell Dana, you know, because the last thing I want is for somebody in the UFC, you know, someone in the higher ups looking at my Twitter and seeing me advertise, oh, wait, it's for combat night tonight, or yada, 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 or come check us out. You know, for all I know, you know, for all they know, we're some promotion that's trying to get big and compete with anyone. Obviously, it's ridiculous that, you know, it's retarded for people who think they can just build a promotion and one day compete with the UFC. They've been doing it for 20 years, but now we're just strictly amateur, and I spoke with Dana about that. He liked the idea. I mean, you know, he said that's fine. So we need stuff like that to build the fighters up and get them to the level to where they are. You know, can go to the UFC. So, you know, hopefully one day a fighter from Combat Night will make it to the UFC. So, you know, we like it as well because we can grow and make it in the areas that we're going to. So, you know, it just comes full circle.
Nice. That's awesome. What kind of guy is Dana White?
I thought he was awesome. You know, if I had to say anything just from being around him and hearing stories from those around him, is that he's just married to his job, man. And like I said, I have a newfound respect for all those guys, especially him, because you know, you hear stories about him working, you know, 16, 18-hour days and stuff, and I believe it. I mean, this guy has only missed one show. The whole time he was, you know, he's been a promoter, and that's because of the vertigo that he was getting. And I'm sure he's made it to quite a few shows and flown around the world while still dealing with his health condition. So I think it's something that he's in love with, and he doesn't want to let anybody else handle. And so, you know, he's just super, super dedicated and ambitious when it comes to taking the UFC to new places.
That's awesome. It's one of those questions I think that probably anybody who's ever worked for Dana White or knows Dana White or has met him, everyone probably gets asked that, because it's kind of it seems like he'd be a hard man to judge, but I think he's as honest and straightforward as you see on TV. I honestly think that the opinion people get of him as being like a dick or an ass or whatever is simply him just being an honest, straightforward guy who is trying to run the largest promotion in the world, and I think that
exactly. He's just a normal guy. You know, obviously, he's got some extraordinary qualities, but at the end of the day, he's just a normal guy who became really successful with this promotion that just is turned huge worldwide. You know, so he's kept he's done a good job, in my opinion, of keeping it all under control, and I'm sure it's a juggling act, but he does it well.
Right on. So Josh, well, I mean, what do you do? I mean, when or if you get downtime or away time, like, I mean, what do you like to do outside of MMA?
I like to travel, man. You know, a lot of guys, when they start getting some money and stuff, they buy, you know, they like to buy a lot of nice shit. I'm kind of still living on the same means that I always have, I've just been spending it on trips, man. Any of the money I have. Going to Key West this weekend to the Toronto Two Guns. It's like an old naval base from the 1800s, like a mile away from an hour away from Key West. I just got back from Vegas and LA. I got so many places I want to go, and just not enough time. So when I do have time in between camps, that's what I like to do is travel.
Right on.
Hey Josh, are you going to bring in your promotion down here? I'm down here in Cape Coral. Are you guys bringing any fights down locally down here for me anywhere?
Wait, let me ask, what's the closest big city to you guys?
I'm about an hour from hour and a half for 45 minutes to Tampa. I'm about 2 to Lauderdale. I'm about, you know, it's like Fort Myers. That's like the
yeah,
biggest.
Orlando, we just showed in Orlando, and we just got done with our last one, and man, it was the best flights we ever had. It was at Roxy in Orlando. We're kind of toying with the idea of going to Tampa. The thing is, what a lot of it determines is one of our big sponsors is the Florida Gun and Knife Show. Ran by a guy named Victor Bean. He was one of my fine sponsors originally. And when we started Time Back Night, he hopped on board. So what we like to do is we like to go to towns that the Florida Gun Show is going to and do them in the same weekend or the weekend before and give him some exposure from the same demographic. These guys that are going to the fights a lot of times will be interested in the gun show and stuff. So we kind of want to schedule that. And Victor doesn't do a show in Tampa, but we still have played with the idea. We got to find a nice venue and stuff. Who likes to go to nice nightclubs? We don't want to just take it anywhere, you know. So it's definitely a list of things to do, but it's not in the foreseeable next few months right now.
Sure. Right. That's awesome, man. Listen, Josh, thanks for joining us tonight, man. Before we let you go, any shout-outs, any sponsors, where people can find you on the social media, man? Go ahead.
Yeah, please check me out on Twitter. It's just my name, Josh Saman, JOSHSAMMAN. I have a fan page on Facebook. I'm down here at MMA Masters in Miami. I got a real good team. Shout out to my manager, Gary, Florida Gun Show, like I said, Lance Maxwell Plumber. That's pretty much it, man. I got so many people I could go on for days. But thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Josh. Have a great night, dude.
Thanks for coming on.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
That's Josh Saman, man. He's a talker. He seems very well spoken. That was a good interview, man. I had a good time with him.
Yeah. Sounds like an awesome guy. A lot to say. Very passionate, obviously, about what he's doing, about his own career. One of the first things he mentioned was helping teammates. So obviously he's a guy who likes to, very rarely do you find guys in this sport that learn, but aren't willing to teach. So it's always awesome to hear and talk to more and more fighters that are turning around and they're teaching and helping teammates and stuff. And Josh is one of those guys. And then he was real passionate talking about his promotion, Combat Night. Like he was saying, just in a year and a half, they've done 16 events. By the end of this year, they're planning on being up to their 25th event already. So if you haven't got on board with Combat Night yet, you don't know what's going on with them, check them out at combatnight.com, Combat Night on Facebook, and you can Josh Saman on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow him. But, yeah, man, just sounds just an awesome dude, like you said, man. Excuse me. Great interview. Has a lot to say and it enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting to me. He said I could go on and talk about steroids all day, and I appreciate that because he's in a sport where it's the forefront of the news is TRT and PEDs and steroids. So not being afraid to speak up and speak your mind and let everybody know kind of what is what, I think takes a lot, especially trying to break into something new and trying to be, trying to find your niche, I guess, is what I'm trying to say for this young fighter in the UFC. And he's willing to speak up about some of his, some of the elders, per se, in the sport. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Something came up tonight. I was at the weigh-ins, and I've been to a few weigh-ins before. And, I pay attention, I take the results, I try and talk to fighters if I can, but I kind of just like to hang out, bask in it, because it's like no matter how many events I've been to, and I can still consider myself a rookie at this, but every time I go to an event, go to a weigh-in, get to be around fighters, man, it's just an awesome experience. But tonight something finally dawned on me, and it's something that you talk about all the time, man, and it's weight cut, right? This is like one of your biggest issues.
Yeah, man.
You ask almost every fighter about it. And it's never really dawned on me before, but like when I think about it, when I really start to kind of pick it apart, dissect it, and look at it from the bottom to the top, it's like, okay, so this fighter goes through like a month. They start cutting weight probably a month, 3 weeks ahead of time, just depending on the fighter, depending on the level of fight. And they go through all this to cut weight, to get on that scale for 2 seconds, to weigh in at the said weight, and then immediately get off the scale and pack on 10 pounds full of food and Pedialyte and all this stuff. So it's kind of like, and I think I finally see the phenomenon that you referred to. I always think, like, what's Jason talking about, a phenomenon? They're just cutting weight, man. What's the big deal? But, you know, it's crazy. It's kind of like a formality, because it's like, you know, okay, so so-and-so and so-and-so are fighting at 155. So they do everything they can to cut that weight. They step on the scale at 155. But by the time those two guys step in the cage, they're going to each be at, like, 165, 170. So it's like, you know, it really is a phenomenon that I don't know, man, perplexes me.
Yeah, well, here's I guess, the reason why. Because these guys, I mean, you're absolutely right. Some of these guys you hear all the time, I walk around at, you know, 255 when I fight at 205. You know, they're going to, in your head, in my head, they have to drop 50 pounds and get down there to do it healthy, you know, to be healthy about it and not, you know, not be tired, not this, that, and the other thing. But you're absolutely right. They drop that weight, they get down there for 7 seconds, and then they're off. And by the time the fight goes, they're back up to 255. So they're not really fighting at that weight. They're just way in.
Hey, Western, we got somebody. Western collegiate wrestling is what has done that and ruined the sport. Only in this country do guys, because of collegiate wrestling and high school wrestling, cut so much weight. And most of these amateurs don't even realize that half of them are getting knocked out because they've dried the fluids up around their brain, and they're causing long-term damage. When, as an amateur, until you're 4 fights away from going pro, you shouldn't fight more than 10 pounds out of your weight class, I don't think. Once you start getting close to going pro, you should start understanding correct weight cutting. And if you're at 170 and going to fight at 155, then start learning to fight at 155 and getting a progression there. But until you're starting to get paid, cutting more than 10 pounds is pretty much, I think, stupid. And I'm telling you right now, every other country in the world where wrestling is a base, whether it's 10 years old or 50 years old, whether it's African-based wrestling or, you know, Russian sambo style, you know, all those people fight predominantly at their walking weight or close to it. Look at Christian Mabumfu from Bellator. He walks at 204. He was the 205 champ.
Let me ask you a question, though. When these guys, I mean, it doesn't matter who started it and who does it. I just think that these guys, there's so much money to be made. I mean, how do you correct this, Skip? I mean, is there any way that you know, the commission say you have to be within 10 pounds?
Yeah, first of all, the athletic commission could put, first of all, you know, we have problems with commissions anyway from state to state, from sanctioning body. But if there was to be a nationally regulated, like there is in karate, like there is in taekwondo, like there is in Thai fighting, like there is in wrestling, like there is in boxing, then yes, you could put in a thing to say, look, at your physicals, you're going to weigh X. You cannot lose more than X percentage body weight.
Every year
you've got to get your license renewed, correct? I mean, as far as I know, in every state, a fighter's got to get it every year. So
when
you do your physical, they take your body weight, they take your fat index, and they say, this is a determining factor on what classes you're available to fight in.
Right. No, I agree with you, Skippy. I just think there's too much money to be made, too much money too much prize money, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's important to the commissions, important to the promoters. That everybody chirps about fighter safety. I just don't think it's about fighter safety. I just think it's about the bottom line.
It is at the pro level. Now, look, we're talking amateur. Now, you're talking pro. Look, I'm the first one to say I'm sick and tired of seeing pros stop fights, refs stop fights on pros because a guy got a cut. Look, dude, he's getting paid to fight. Okay, he stepped in there knowing. Just because he's got a cut, the blood's not in his eyes, you're going to stop and say, Doc, come in. Look, let these guys fight. I don't know, it's 3 or 4, 5, 7, whatever, UFCs ago. You guys know I'm not a big zombie, but the last time they were in Seattle, there was an undercard fight. Anthony Hamlet refed it. Dude, one guy got obliterated, knocked, like just for a loop, stupid. Anthony ran in, appraised the situation, and said, look, this guy's hurt, but he's not completely hurt. Let those two guys keep going. They ended up winning fight of the night. But at a pro level, you have to let these guys fight. Cuts, knocks, guy gets stumbled, you've got to let these guys fight. And you got to allow them, if they want to be that dumb to cut 50 pounds, then that's their problem. As an amateur, I disagree.
Yeah, I don't know, Skip.
And,
I just think it's...
And that's what it is. You're 100% right. It's about a paycheck, especially when you start looking at the guys in Zuffa where he loses at 155, so he drops to 145. So he loses at 145,
right.
Now he's at 135. You know, look, sooner or later, you're hurting yourself and your career by cutting too much weight. Second of all, just because you cut weight doesn't mean because you're the bigger guy, you're the better fighter. Maybe you just aren't that good, you know. Maybe you just aren't Anderson Silva. Maybe you're always going to be a regional fighter, you know. And look, no disrespect to the man, because he's great and he deserves to go down in a real MMA Hall of Fame, not the Zuffa one, but a real one. Tony Lopez, he's the king of the cage, always will be, but you know what? He will never, ever, and never have been a top 10 world fighter.
Always good conversation with you, my man. We got to come in here more often and kick this stuff around, Skip. You always get my mind working.
Hey, I was just listening to the show. You know, I had to call in, man. I was like, this is something we talk about a lot, especially with fighters on, you know, our two shows. You know, we've heard a lot of opinions from pros and amateurs, managers, people in different fighting styles around the world. You know, my thing is, you look at, there's two main countries in this world producing the top wrestlers at an elite level. And we're not talking WWE, folks. We're talking real honestly about wrestling. That's America, and that's Iran. Now, the interesting thing is Iran fighters don't cut much weight at all. A lot of them who are fighting at 78 kilograms are walking around at 80 kilograms. You know,
right.
You're talking, you know, very little weight cuts. And even in Canada, we've talked to some great fighters out of Canada who grew up in the wrestling. Most of them didn't cut more than 10 or 12 pounds. But here in America, I see kids in my local high school. The kid who just won state last year, he walks at 185 and he's fighting in the 140s. He's 17 years old. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys have your show back. I just had to call and talk. Wait,
hey,
I love that.
Hey, Skippy, real quick, man. You mentioned your two shows, man. When and where can people check those shows out?
Wednesday night, Madhouse Live. You guys can find us on MMAMadhouse.com, the link for every radio show, and on about 20 other sites around the world. And then Friday night, if you're up late and you don't have virgin ears, you can listen to The Rogue Show. It's a very vulgar language show based around MMA, a who's who of fighters, managers, gym owners from around the world hang out on that show every week. It's just not for the faint of heart, because we do have a lot of people who speak their minds and talk about some odd subjects related to MMA.
So,
right on, man.
I got to get on the road show one of these days, brother.
I don't know if you cut out for it, Jason.
Oh, man, you've got to. Like, dude, we've had some just amazing people call in. And some of the things that we get to talk about, because some of the guys call in because they have no other source media-wise where they can really say what they want to say and not have to worry about the, you know, four-letter words or offending a person or a sponsor. So it's really interesting because we get some people who let go and say some things that they would never say on a regular interview.
Yep. Huh. Interesting.
And you
thanks,
know you're
yeah,
always
thanks.
Welcome.
I appreciate it, brother. I really do. I got to get on there and I got to kick it around so I don't get myself thrown off the air here. So
hey, this week we have the one and only, he's a regular actually, but we have DJ the Protege Linderman. Fighter Arena world champion, multiple world champion. He's going to be on to talk about his fight, his third fight, folks, against Michael 300 PS Hayes at Nick Diaz's War promotion. Isn't it Nick's? Yeah, it's Nick's.
Yes.
War, his new promotion. And not only that, Bo the Show Hamilton will be kicking it with us, also fighting out of Fight Athletics. So it's going to be a cool show. It looks like we're going to have the owner of Cage in the Rage Idaho to come on and argue me his rankings because I called him out on him today?
Nice.
Let me ask you guys this before I hang up. This is a question I think both of you guys will have a great opinion on. You ranking somebody, a guy at 145 who's fought, I think, 11 times as a pro at 145, they ranked him number 3 at 135, trying to entice him to fight the number 1 fighter. Do you think that is BS ranking?
Yeah, absolutely.
who?
I'll be real quick, Jason. Honestly, you shouldn't be ranked, period, at a weight class unless you fought notably at that weight class and put together, a respectful record. But if you haven't even fought at a weight class and you're being ranked somewhere simply to entice you to fight there, that's just bogus. That's bogus.
Yeah, Kim, I just want to know a little bit. I need a little more information. I think just with the information you gave me, yes,
They ranked Daniel Swain number 3. Now, everybody out there, Daniel Swain's a legitimate fighter from Pancrase in Japan to MFC in Canada, all across the U.S., substantial record, great wins over notable opponents. Then underneath him, they put Jesse Brock, who's once again a Bellator fighter, MFC fighter, very well-renowned, sponsored by Brawlbase. Believe it or not, and then they put Brad Hempleton at number 1. Now, Hempleton up here in the Pacific Northwest is a badass. I'm not going to lie. He's good. Is he on Daniel Swain's level? I don't think so personally, but I disagree with you ranking a guy in a weight class that he's never even fought in just to try to make a fight happen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Look,
I think
fight to happen.
It sounds like... Well, it sounds like cherry-picking to me. It sounds like, you know, we're going to put this guy in here and the fight's going to happen because he's going to be frowned upon if he doesn't take the fight.
Yeah. Well, I say, look, if you want the fight to happen, you offer the fight to him. Whether it's at 135 or catchweight, I don't care. You offer it to him,
right.
But you don't disrespect the 9 other fighters in that fucking weight class and say,
right.
Look, you guys have beat your faces in. So is he, but in a different weight class. Well, he's going to jump all of you guys. I just disagree with that. Hey, you guys have a good rest of the show. I don't want to steal all your time. Sorry.
No, Kip, you're good. You're always welcome on the show. Have a good night, brother.
You too. Enjoy the show, guys.
Skippy,
always a pleasure talking with Skippy, always.
Well, I think he was lighting up a cigarette as he was heading out there, so good for Skippy. I doubt it was
a cigarette.
Well, I love getting Skippy on the air. He's so passionate. He's so... You know, he's just always so ready to go. So I'm going to see if we can't get Bill on here. So I'm going to go to Q. Hang on 1 second, man.
Right on, man. all right, my bad, Skippy. He was lighting up a cigarette, that's all. anyways, it's always a pleasure talking with Skippy. It makes you feel good when the vice president of the website is a fan of your show and a regular listener. So tells you you're doing something right, and, he enjoys taking his time out to listen to us babble on and talk about nonsense. So. We appreciate it, Skip. You're always welcome to come on here and take over whenever you want, man. As Jason jumps back in the queue and gets our final guest ready, we're going to welcome on here in the next couple of minutes, Mr. Bill Smallwood, or Billy Smalls, as he goes by on Twitter. I can't get over that, man. Love the Twitter name. Bill Smallwood, young guy, fights out of Las Vegas, got a 2-3 record there in the pros, and we'll see what he's got going on. He's fought a couple of good guys. He fought, lost a fight to Kelvin Gastelum, the winner of Ultimate Fighter 17. So ask him a little bit about that, a little bit about the past, a little bit about what he's got coming up, and we'll see what he's got going on. In the meantime, while Jason's getting him ready, let me give some shout-outs to our sponsors. Brawlbase.com, GameChangerNow.com, CrossRotorClothing.com, DracoSports.com, ProAmBelts.com, and CastIronSupplements.com. Thank you guys for all that you're doing. And we appreciate the support. And with that said, Mr. Billy Smalls, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How about you guys? Florida. You guys live
in
the... Didn't you guys have like a... What was it? Last week, you guys had a... Oh, shoot. A tropical storm move through there.
Yes, we did. Yes, actually, just last Thursday. Yeah, we did. Kind of came through the state. We got a little lucky. Just some
crazy,
rain,
man.
Some wind, but nothing considerable as far as I know. So we got really lucky.
No, right after college, though, I wind up moving with a marketing company to Orlando, and we set up one there, and then we also set up one in Miami, Florida, and it was kind of crazy because, man, when I was there from, like, 2005 all the way to, like, 2007, it was crazy, man. We had, like, 8 hurricanes, 2 or 3 tropical depressions, and, like, 1 tropical storm, and I was like, man, after Hurricane Wilma, I chunked deuces. I was like, peace, dude. Dude, so, I'm not going to lie, man. They have, like, a phenomenal deal down there. What is it, like, the last week? What is it, last week of October and the first week of November? They have, like, Fantasy Weekend or something like that down in the Keys?
I'm not sure, man.
Yep, you're absolutely right, man. It's a great time.
I love it, man.
It is.
I got to make it back out there, man. Get some gator tail, man, or something.
Yeah, it's a party. Over
anyway.
Party.
Oh, man. So anyway, guys, how you doing?
Doing very good, man. Thanks for joining us. Carl set up this interview for us, and we appreciate it very much. I mean, first of all, dude, with the name Smallwood, I'm sure that the Twitter name was an easy pick, man, but I just got to – that's just funny, dude, Billy Smalls. When I first read that, my mind automatically jumped to Biggie Smalls just out of
my
name association, but –
Don't get me wrong, my brother. I've been wrestling literally like since like about 5 or 6 years old out of Oklahoma. And if I grew up with a bunch of guys, though, and it's crazy because whenever they start putting your name on the bracket as a little kid, all the way up into high school, up into even further past that, it's always your first initial to last name, B, Smallwood. So it's crazy. I mean, even the guys that are doing well now, that are out of Oklahoma State, like Muhammad Lawal. He wrestled at UCO, and he also wrestled at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
You got Johnny Hendricks. Say Pierre next. You got Mark Munoz. If he'd actually beat Weidman, he'd be going for a title shot. And then you also got Cormier. So, I don't know, man. Like, honestly, like, and I live out here in Vegas. It's crazy because the misconception that people get that this is called fight capital of the world. And I always try to pretty much, like, calm them down. I say, hey, look, you know what? It's boxing capital of the world.
Yeah.
This is not fight capital of the world. I said, otherwise Frank Mir would have not picked up and taken off to Greg Jackson and Winklejohn's camp in New Mexico. So, anyhow.
Very well said, dude. Very well said. I got to ask, man, are you a fan of Hypnotic?
Oh, are you talking about my Twitter? In all honesty, I set that Twitter up, man, literally like 2009. And I've done, if you look like any of the posts, though, man, I've put like 2 posts on there like in the last week. And I have not really posted on it in like 2 or 3 years. So, honestly, I don't even drink anymore. I literally do not drink anymore at all. So,
right on, man.
I don't drink at all. I don't really... No.
That's just an awesome picture.
No, man, we were up there for, what was it? There was a guy out of San Diego when I was living there at one time, and he was just a really good fashion photographer and whatnot, and then he did, like, a black and white, and he did, like, a color photography, and, you know, what's that magazine called? 944 Magazine. He was really shooting for it, and I was like, man, I really wanted, like, a really good photo at that time, so... Yeah, that's not really me anymore, the club party, a club banger anymore.
Right on, man. Yeah, you, I mean, what do you got going on? As far as, start with your fight career, man. What's coming up in the fights? You know, you're just coming off 2 straight wins. You know, what do you got coming up?
It's funny that you actually say that, though, because I actually, what's the best word I can say? I booked the casinos. Like, I'm about half Native American. So the guy that actually owns the league that I fight for is C3 Fights, very, very well known in the MMA world and judo world, is Dr. Ron Tripp. He is the only one that beat Hicks and Gracie ever. I mean, you can Wikipedia it, look it up, all that stuff. But phenomenal guy. He also is a doctor. He's got his little practice back in Oklahoma. He was a University of Oklahoma assistant coach. So anyway, long story short, I wound up getting an agent that was pairing the card at the time and wound up getting with him, and I've had my last few fights with him, though. But I got a fight of the night one, and the other one was a second-round TKO. Let's see, what was it, April 27th. So, anyhow, I just lightly told him at one time, I said, hey, my mother actually works with a tribe, you know, a tribe. I could possibly get you a meeting. And me, I've worked in sales and marketing and stuff like that ever since college, so I booked a meeting that it seemed like nobody else could get with a casino. And then one thing led to another. I wound up flying out from Vegas back to Oklahoma to actually, you know, book this casino and so on and so forth. And then I kind of slowly became on the business side of booking the casinos. So that's one other thing. And I would really, really, and I've been trying to tear down somebody's door trying to get a number for Access TV with Mark Cuban. It just seems like Access TV basically has a skeleton system when you call them up, like on their from their website. You'll call up Access TV and nobody will answer the phone. It's a ton of voicemails and whatever, and I'm just like, I'm relentless. Same thing as fighting. I'm relentless, man. Like, the judge, the referee never has to say action, action, action. It's kind of a form of stalling, but that's kind of basically where we're at. As far as where we're at, as far as, like, the fights, right now, we're looking in Arizona to throw our next event.
Right on.
I kind of took the roundabout way to answer your question. Sorry about that, sir.
That's all I was thinking. I wasn't going to say it, but, I mean, that's cool. You can answer your questions however you want, man. And now you're also the president and CEO of Next Level MMA. What do you got going on with that?
That I am. You know, one of the things is that whenever I come out to Vegas, I wound up trying out a couple of different gyms, and I don't want to be disrespectful to a lot of Vegas gyms because I got a lot of friends fighting for them, though, but I had a little problem with any of the guys actually being from Vegas or even, like, moved here and any of them near a title shot. The proof is in the pudding of a gym, though. I mean, either you sell memberships or you sell ass whoopings. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I say that? So,
yeah, man.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all good, dude. Go ahead.
The point that I'm trying to make is that there's a difference. I'm not trying to get rich off of memberships. I'm not trying to get in fact, I even teach a lot of my guys for free. So whenever I start with a guy, I might go and do my strength and conditioning at, like, a 24-hour fitness or, like, a Las Vegas athletic club. When I'm there doing swimming or I'm in the steam room and I have somebody come up to me because I'll do, like, you know, some shadow boxing, one of the kids will pull me aside or as I'm sitting by the lockers and they'll basically say, oh, where do you train? And I'll tell them, you know, phase one. And they're like, where's that at? And I'm like, well, it's a high-end gym. It's actually kind of private. You have to actually be invited there. So they kind of get a little standoffish a little bit. They're kind of like, well, you know, I can kind of do this, and I like it because they're kind of fighting because they're worth it. So I like that. And then they actually say, well, how could I train with you? And I always say, let me ask you a question. Why is it that you like to fight? Why do you want to fight? If they answer anything other than because I love to fight, then it's not for them. I say, hey, you know what, there's a couple other gyms here, there, wherever. But if they answer because I love to fight, then I'll work with them all day long because sooner or later, strength and conditioning, 5 mile, 8 mile, 10 mile runs, high altitude training, getting hit in the mouth, getting a broken nose or maybe your knees hurt, you might tear an ACL, be able to come back from anything like that. It's just a relationship. It's a lifestyle. I mean, it's obsessive and compulsive disorders, and it's go, 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 go. And considering I'm born and raised in Oklahoma, and a lot of guys are very successful from there in the MMA world, I think that the tradition just, it lives pretty deep. So, wind up getting with phase one to answer your question again the long way.
It's all good, man.
And basically teamed up with Nate Gould. He was a boxing promoter. He's kind of taken me under his wing and kind of basically mentored me as far as how the business works, how contracts work, because you and I both know Don King and Bob Arum. They're both legends of screwing people over. So the fight might be promoted at $20 million a fight card, but the truth is that, you know, Mike Tyson and all those guys, if you actually read on Wikipedia, those guys were in court, you know, renegotiating contracts. The lawyers ate it all up, and they only wound up getting, like, maybe $3 or $4 million. So I'm uninvolved in kind of the business aspect as well. Pretty neat, though. I mean, it definitely gives me an avenue and to take somebody and mentor somebody under my wing who is hungry, just like me, because fighting is an aspect of it. Business is an aspect of it.
I got to ask, about your Kelvin Gastelum fight, being that he's just coming off a win in The Ultimate Fighter. I mean, you fought him back in 07. At the time, he would have been 18, 19 or something.
Actually, I fought him last 4th of July.
Oh, well then, all right then. Yeah, you know what? I'm an idiot. I'm reading the date backwards, so never mind that.
No. I fought C.B. Dalloway. It's funny, that was my second to last loss, because both of them were on The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Both of them actually went to the finals. It's just the last time middleweight was on The Ultimate Fighter, C.B. Dalloway went to the finals. It's kind of crazy because those two guys are my last losses. So what was your question about Kelvin Gastelum?
Just basically, what was he like as a fighter? I mean, what did you – I mean, he ran through most of his opponents pretty easily, being a really young guy and rather inexperienced guy. But, I mean, what did you feel when you fought against him?
The organization I was fighting with at the time – are you fighting? Are you F? Anyway, the guys are out of Arizona State. The guy that actually owns it, his name is Joel Lopez. And unless your MMA kind of comes from Arizona or Brazil or Oklahoma wrestling, those tend to be the guys right now that are kind of dominating it. So that's just statistics wise, but Joel Lopez, he went to Arizona State University, and there's also another guy that has an organization down there. But anyway, with Kelvin, I had actually fought with Joel's organization before, and he paired me against C.B. Dalloway. But he basically asked me on my second fight with him, he said, hey, you know what, do you want to come and be the main event? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Looked into Kelvin, realized he was, 3-0, 4-0 at the time. And I was kind of like, you know what? Something about a wrestler's mentality is to basically, it doesn't matter, like, fight the best. So the only thing about wrestling is you have about 30 or 40 matches a year, maybe even 50. So if you happen to lose, you know, the turnaround is not that long. But with pro fighting, you got 3, maybe 4 fights a year if you're really,
yeah.
really. So... whenever we came in, he was a left-handed fighter. Every striker or even MMA guy has problems with a lefty because your power hands are both on the same side. So as we came in, I knew he was a wrestler. He'd wrestled in college at, I think it was a JUCO. It was in Northern Idaho. And then he come on back down to Yuma, Arizona, where he's living. So basically came out, and I had kind of changed up and had some issues with my trainer at the time. And kind of had some falling out, though, about 3 weeks before, and then wound up just kind of, like, winging it. So came into the fight. He came out, and he had short, stubby arms. He kind of had a small little gut, but I knew that being a wrestler, he was going to be good on cardio, good on the ground. And I kept launching that right hand. I landed one of them. I actually have the video. It's funny. I just won't let anybody see it. It's just out of shame, I guess. But launched a right hand, came back with a right hand. He basically came in and started smothering my punches. He got me up against the fence, and we sat there for a while, and just nobody threw an elbow, nobody threw nothing, though. And I basically did a really risky move, and it didn't work out, and I wound up on bottom. And he passed my guard, and then since I went past the guard, I basically pushed his hips away and come up. He kind of took my back, and then it was a real short, you know, rear naked choke. So pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so what do you got going on, man? It's about what 8:30 out there in Vegas on a Thursday night. What's Billy Smallwood doing on a Thursday night?
Bro, I'm sitting down a black road almost. Walking, sitting here thinking, you got to visualize stuff.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, I live down in Southern Highlands, which is actually a really nice area, and I've worked really hard for a lot of things that I've had. And I think about things, visualizing things, think about things that I've done, think about things that where I need to go, and think about things that what I've learned. I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of like this. The other day I was doing the same thing, and I was talking to Mo, King Mo, and he's got his Bellator tournament coming up and all that stuff, but he's also doing TNA wrestling. And we wrestled back in UCO, and it's crazy. It's like we keep, like, falling up, and I'm not going to divulge too much, but I basically said, you know, because he got beat with, what was it, a spinning back fist? Is that what he got beat with?
Yeah, against Emmanuel Nunes.
Yeah. And it was kind of more along the lines, I just said, hey, you know, you got to go back to basics, basically. I said, I know that you're fighting out of Floyd's gym for, like, boxing, and he's also going to House of Rue, and he's also doing his wrestling, and he's trying to really actually make some money and entertain and all that stuff, but MMA is the real deal, and, I mean, like somebody let me know, you can get a herniated disc, you can get, you know, a detached retina, you can get, you know, tons of stuff, and if you're not careful. But I said, hey, look, man, I said, just because I care, I said, you know, bro, you gotta keep your hands up, go back to the basics, man. I said, wrestling, I said, I don't care what you call it, a win's a win. I said, they're getting on George St. Pierre right now because his fights are kind of boring, or at least they think they're boring, because they don't understand anything about wrestling. I mean, hell, he used to go out to Dan Henderson's camp along with King Mo, and that's where he learned his wrestling from. That's why he wrestles with the Olympic team. That's why he's been dodging Johnny Hendricks for forever. So, I mean, UFC put so much marketing behind UFC, or I'm sorry, behind George St. Pierre. All the girls like him. I was like, why do you like him? And they're like, oh, he's just so pretty and his tight. So I was like, that's great. I said, well, what does he know about fighting, or what does he do this? I said, great, he's an athlete. That's wonderful. That's all great, but I hate to tell you this. I said, he hasn't been fed to Johnny Hendricks because basically Dana White, Joe Silva, Sean Shelby, Lorenzo, Fertitta, they've all been basically telling Johnny, hey, look, man, you need to work on your Twitter accounts. You need to work on your Facebook accounts. You need to work on your video. You need to work on this and that. You need to get, you know, things shaken because you got to sell tickets.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
So I mean, so outside of MMA, you know, and I know, you know, I ask this, and Jason, we ask this from time to time for fighters, and then typically get the same response because fighter's life is fighting, so there's not much outside of MMA. But I mean, what do you do when you kick back for fun? You know, just when you get to relax, or you know, fishing, hunting, sports. I mean, what kind of stuff do you like to do away from mixed martial arts?
That's a trick question, isn't it? <I don't, laughs>
No,
I'm serious.
It's an honest question with usually a trick answer, because the majority of fighters, there is no away from MMA. So
there
typically,
really
it's,
isn't. No.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. I mean, it's a lifestyle. Oh, you know what? Actually, I got it. Fashion. Because sooner or later, one of these days, you know, as I travel the world and learn a couple of different languages, I've already known a couple. And, I mean, I'm from a place that's 2 convenience stores and 1 stoplight back in Kingston, Oklahoma. So that's about how big I come. But as I travel the world and kind of travel, as MMA opens up new opportunities, opens up new governments and, you know, different things, and I'm able to travel, I realize that, kind of like the old adage goes, everybody smiles in the same language, right?
Absolutely.
Well, everybody can get their butt beat in the same language. Well, I push that just a little bit further. I realize, what's an international business where you can kind of push past your comfort level? Fashion. Everybody loves fashion. Like, it doesn't matter. You got to wear a shirt. You got to do this. Well, except for maybe National Geographic. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that what I'm saying is that you know, you get into fashion though. Me personally, I mean, I like to wear the Affliction shirt sometimes, but then there's times where you really want to dress up and be a gentleman, especially for these guys that are wrestlers. Guys, what is it? Like Rashad Evans, he went to Michigan State, right? Those guys have degrees. Mo has a degree. King Mo. Johnny Hendricks has a degree. Daniel Cormier has a degree. Who's the guy that just got done retiring? He's originally from Georgia.
Got me off the top of my head like that. I'm not sure.
What is his name? I can't think. But anyhow, you get guys that, you know, that are all wrestling that got political science degrees. I mean, most people don't even know that Chuck Liddell, when he went to Cal Polytechnic, he's actually a, what is it, he's an accountant. Crazy.
Yeah, Jeff Monson's got like a bachelor's or a master's degree in something. I forget what it is, but...
You don't mind me asking, though, what got you into MMA?
Honestly, me and myself, I don't know about Jason, but I don't know, about 5-6 years ago, I guess, living across the street from Corey Hill, and just got to know him on a personal level. Started watching the sport because of meeting him, got into the sport. Combat sports, really, it was just watching old Kimbo Slice videos on YouTube, man. Once I started watching that dude on YouTube, watching him just beat the hell out of people, I'm like, man,
that
this
was
is
crazy,
awesome.
Man.
So,
do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember when the guy, when he had his eyeball kind of halfway hanging out of his head?
Yeah, that was awesome. One of my favorites was when he busted the guy's jaw and he knocked the guy out about 5 times. The guy kept getting back up and wanting to fight him. And eventually he hit him so hard, kind of like you heard his jaw crack, and then Kimbo's like, all right, man, you're done.
somebody set me down and let me know a long time ago in pro fighting it's about selling tickets. They let me know that because whenever I really started doing my research over Kimbo Slice, I was looking at him, and I was like, all right, he's a striker, which means the wrestler could whoop his butt.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, okay, he's doing backyard. And then I started kind of pushing a little bit further. Then whenever he went on Elite XC, he was making $400,000 a fight, and CBS was paying him. And I was like, all right, he's one of the highest-paid MMA fighters to date. And I was kind of like, Then I started looking into who was doing those backyard fights for him. It was like a porno site that was doing his SEO marketing. So I was like, you know what? Just on the marketing side, I'll follow suit. So if any guys that are actually listening in, like amateur or pro MMA fighters, if you don't know what SEO marketing is, seriously, like you need to get on it. Just look it up. Type it in. Google SEO marketing, blah, blah, blah. But seriously, it's tedious stuff, too. It's very easy, though. It's like the HTML stuff, like you get on your YouTube and... You know, you kind of start linking in, and, I mean, it's how you get your views.
Yeah.
But you said Jason. Jason, how did you get in MMA?
I actually am from Buffalo, New York. I went to UFC 8 in Buffalo, New York, when it was still legal. It was Oleg Sakharov versus Ken Shamrock, and it was it just changed my life. So it was incredible stuff.
Who was the guy that was missing a peg back in the day? Was that Oleg?
Was missing a what?
He was missing a peg. A peg. Like, his whole chest was sunk in. It was like one of the early UFCs, though, but I think Oleg Taktarov had actually burst him, or he had actually fought him.
Yeah, I don't know who that was,
like,
but... Yeah, I'm not sure who that was.
It looks like Tra Teligman.
Oh, yeah?
He's missing his right pectoral.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about, what is it, what do you got, UFC card, though? I mean, you get a lot of people that right now are kind of bored, pretty much thinking that it's not much of a card they're putting together.
No, I'll be honest, man.
No.
With all that we've got going on, I'll watch the UFC fights, most of them, you know, I'll catch them on DVR, I'll go back and I'll watch them, but So I know for me specifically, I'm so wrapped up on a weekly basis in different events here throughout the state that I'm typically watching replays or watching reruns of UFC events. So I the big pay-per-views, I keep
sure.
up with them. You know, I go out, I watch them with my local gym, whatever.
Sure.
I'll go, you know, we'll go out to Wing House and watch them. But,
what
I mean,
gym
lately,
are you at?
Gator MMA in Port Richey, Florida. It's kind of an unorthodox, untraditional gym. The
mm-hmm.
head coach is Daniel Blevins. One of our guys, actually, he's making his pro debut tomorrow night at XFC 24.
Good luck to him, man. What's his name?
Ladarius Jackson. He's on the prelim card.
Nice. What was I going to say? Isn't there a guy, Fight Time Promotions? What's his name?
Howard
Davis
Jr.
Like to, yeah, I hear that's actually a pretty decent thing to fight for, though. Although, I mean, XSC, man, that obviously no slouch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Fight Time's awesome. I go out to Fort Lauderdale, and I cover. I'll actually be out there next Friday. I'm at their Fight Time 15 in Fort Lauderdale. It's about a five-hour drive from where I'm at, but I go out there every couple of months. I cover their pro events, man. They're a great promotion. The XFC right now is kind of taking
over. I know what it is. I know what it is, brother, man. It's like, man, I got to have one of those spicy Cubanos, one of those Latinas. Bro, I gotta get out there, man. I mean, what is I always forget that hotel out there they have. It's got about an inch of water and whatnot. At Miami, though. I lived there for 2 years. The Delano.
Right on. Yeah, my girl works for Hilton, so whenever I have to go somewhere for fights, she'll book us a hotel. And
I will be hitting you up, sir.
Get that family friend discount. Like, this is my cousin, twice removed on my father's side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, man.
They've got that. Yeah, for sure.
It's been an honor having you on tonight, man. Honor talking with you, dude. Just entertaining, man. We'll talk with Carl, maybe get you your own radio show, man. You got a lot to say, and you're fun to listen to.
Oh, man,
dude,
I'm sorry, man.
No, don't be sorry at all, man.
I can tell by the nervous laugh, man, that I said too much. But anyway, thank you very much. Thank you very much, though, for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Listen, man, any sponsors or shout-outs or social media where people can find you, man, go ahead and let people know where they can hit you up at.
Facebook.com/1948Smallwood or Twitter.com/ Billy_Smalls, S-M-A-L-Z. I want to thank Pearl's Clothing. I also want to thank Daniel Cobb. I want to thank my girl Samantha Michaels, Phase One Sports, Next Level MMA. Thank you, Mikey Tom. I want to say thank you, Nate Gould. And if I did miss you, Jose Casas. Guys, thanks for everything.
Hey, not a
man,
problem,
I
bro.
Thank you. MMA
hey, thanks
Matt
for chilling
out.
With us, dude. Yeah, man, thanks for chilling with us, dude. It was an awesome time.
All right, my brother. Good luck to your guy tomorrow.
All right, man, appreciate it, dude. Right. Take it easy.
Thanks,
right,
man. Good night, my man.
That was like one of the best interviews I've ever done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
I'm not sure if I've been interviewed and he's
good
stuff, man.
Yeah, dude. Awesome. Awesome guy, man. I could sit and talk with that dude all night long, man. Like, that's so funny. Like, how many fighters have we had? Fighters, promoters. How many guests have we had on the show? And I think that's the first guy who's like, interviewed us, like legitimately cared about what we had to say, like he's asking us how we got into this sport, dude. That's just straight up like a genuine person, man. I absolutely loved that interview. Billy Smalls, man, Bill Smallwood, dude, that's awesome. Check him out, you know, check out what he's doing with C3 Fights and with his promotions and all that he's involved in, man. Check him out. I just can't get over it, man. What an awesome interview.
Yeah, for sure. No, he was good stuff, man. He was good stuff.
I mean, we got a few minutes left here before we end the night. Still, man, you know, just a few final words on XSC 24. We've talked about it nonstop for the last couple of weeks. Last month or so, we've had fighters on. I think we've interviewed the majority of this main card. And just been – I just can't get over it, man. What an awesome dude. Like, we got to – I kind of want, like, a – like a weekly segment with Billy Smalls. Like, what does Billy have to say this week, you know?
yeah, We should call it like the small segment or something like that and just get him out here and see if we can't get him going.
I can't even formulate thought right now. XFC 24, man. Tomorrow night, the USF Sundome. Fights are going to kick off at 7 p.m. Doors are going to open, I believe, around 6 o'clock, 6:30 for the fans. Get out there, check it out, man. Tickets are going to still be available. You can probably still get them at the door. Go online ahead of time. We got a little bit of some interference. I don't know what that was. That's the internet trying to shut us down, telling us that we can't get any better than that Billy Smalls interview. So they're just going to shut us down. But now go beafantickets.com. You can still get tickets there. I got to be a little selfish and say that when you go there, if you buy tickets, select Ladarius Jackson as your fighter, man. Help Ladarius out. Support him. Support Gator MMA. I got to throw that in there, man. It's my team and my family out there. But Jason, man, I'm looking forward to seeing you again, bro. We got to chill and rock Bellator 94 together. And I think XFC 24, I love Bellator. Don't get me wrong. Bellator is one of my favorite promotions. But this XFC, I've been looking forward to being at an XFC event since I joined Madhouse exactly a year ago. And I've done nothing but think about it and dream about the moment, man. Wake up in the middle of the night with cold sweats going, oh, man, it was only a dream. But tomorrow the dream becomes a reality. And I'm going to get to be cage-eyed for XFC 24 Collision Course in Tampa, Florida. It's going to be a great night of fights, man. I know you got yourself a nice drive up, but and I can guarantee you will be well-rewarded when you get here. I'll have that press pass in hand. Now I was given the press pass. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to hand it over to you, so you might want to have cash on you just in case I'm feeling like, you know what, I need a 5 or 10 spot for this press pass, bro.
Listen, I only carry hundreds, so
I will take that. I don't carry cash at all, so unfortunately, man, I'm not going to be able to break that to you. You'll just have to take my good word.
Yeah, I don't carry cash either, so.
Listen, man, some real quick shout-outs. Upcoming events, obviously XFC 24 tomorrow night. Next Friday in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Fight Time 15. It's Fight Time is what that one's being called. This is going to be another great night of fights. I myself will be there covering that, as always. You know, I missed out on Fight Time 14 due to the fact that I had teeth removed from my face, but that won't happen again. You're a sore loser if you miss out on a Fight Time event, I promise you that. And then the following week after that, man, probably going to be the biggest fight card the state's ever seen, especially in the amateur ranks. World Class Fight League 5, Rise to the Top. We're looking at 22, 23 fights on that card. Just going to be stellar, so check that out. With that said, man, I want to say thank you to Bruce Braveheart Richards, Josh Saman, and Billy Smalls, Billy Smallwood. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. Carl and Skippy, thanks for calling in and spending a couple minutes with us. My co-host, Jason, I will see you tomorrow, sir. It's always a pleasure. Drive safe. Once again, man, can't say it enough, XFC 24, USF Sundome, Friday night, June 14th, 7 p.m. fight start, 9 p.m. on Access TV. Check them out. For us here at Full Guard Fight Radio, that's a wrap. Listen, hashtag let no champion struggle. Hit that up on Twitter. Support Caitlin Deeney. Support local MMA, MMAMadhouse.com. We are Full Guard Fight Radio. Until next Thursday, take it easy.
Matt, I will see you tomorrow, brother.
Absolutely.